Gospel of Matthew, the 22nd chapter.
When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" He said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." The Gospel of the Lord. Will you pray with me? May the words that I speak and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. So for the past few weeks, this congregation has been looking at the ways that we are called by God to be stewards. We've explored how God comes down to us in so many ways. We feel God's presence when we are cooking for our families, in the safety of comfort during a storm, when we sing and play music, in the joy of our relationships with our spouses and friends, children, and pets. And last week, we looked inward to get quiet and understand what gifts we have to give, how our light shines most strongly in the world. And we are teachers and farmers and listeners and caregivers, providers and protectors. We are so many things just in this room. And so today we look out. We consider what God is calling us to do with the gifts that God has given us. The good news is that Jesus has given us some very clear instructions, and it's just this: to love God with all of our hearts and souls and minds, and to love our neighbor. Simple and crazy difficult to pull that off. It's such a simple commandment, and yet we fail short at loving God and our neighbor so much that we confess it every single week, that we have not loved God with our whole hearts, and we have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. And every week, in fact, every moment of every day, we are forgiven. And so we try again and again and again. The first great commandment given to us in Deuteronomy tells us to love God with all ourselves, to tell our children about it, about this love, and to wear this love on our hands, to our hearts, on our sleeves. When it comes to loving God, this love is outward and willing to be shared. It is how we are to live in the world, to noticeably love God. And the rabbi Jesus knows this commandment. He knows too how hard it is for people to follow. How can we love the Lord with all our hearts, souls, and minds and keep talking about it when there is so much other trouble in the world? When the world seems unfair and frightening, how can we love God with our hearts on our sleeves when there is so much other work to be done? And Rabbi Jesus has an answer to that problem, too, because he knows that loving God means loving all of God's creation. And God's creation means all of it. And that includes all of God's people. And that includes our neighbor. And while Jesus gives us a lot of good news in the gospel, this idea is not new. It's not from Jesus only. Jesus knows about loving our neighbor from Leviticus 19. And around that same time of Leviticus 19, the Hindus were also writing about loving our neighbors. And before that, the Buddha was also telling us to love our neighbors. All over the world, all faiths, teachers, and prophets tell us the same thing that Jesus tells us: love God, love your neighbor. Love God by loving your neighbor. And we do try to love our neighbors. I know we try to love God, so why is the simple commandment so hard to get right? Because it's just hard. And Jesus doesn't even tell us who our neighbor is. It's like he expects us to figure that out for ourselves. And maybe because our neighbors are always different, your gifts might be leading you to a neighbor that you hadn't thought of before. Around the world, across the street, at the corner store, behind you in the pew. Your neighbor might show up anywhere, and it's our job, in fact our call, to match our special gifts with our neighbor's needs. In the Samaritan story, we hear the lawyer ask Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" And Jesus answers with a parable, a story that tells us of a man beaten and lying on the side of the dangerous road to Jericho. He has no name or ethnicity attached to him, but we know that the man who stops to help him is a Samaritan, a person who some folks didn't think much of, people who were looked away from, people who were fine as long as they didn't get too close, people that were tolerated but not accepted. But Jesus tells us that it is a Samaritan who helps the man and helps him generously and for the long haul. The Samaritan doesn't just bind his wounds, but he puts him on his donkey and takes him to the inn, where he pays for his stay while he recovers. And he says he will come back to pay the innkeeper more if needed. So the brilliant thing here is that the Samaritan just doesn't stop and help the injured man. He doesn't only take him to the inn, but he looks out further. The Samaritan knows that the man is beaten, that he has been robbed, and the Samaritan knows that he will need to recover for a long while, and that he doesn't have the means to support himself while he gets better. So the Samaritan looks out for him, not just in the moment of most urgent need, but he anticipates the next days and weeks and makes certain that he is cared for, not just in the moment, but until the beaten man is better. The Samaritan looks out. He looks out for. So when we look out into this world, which feels broken and wrong, who do we look out for? What suffering, what injustice is simply too much for your individual heart to bear? Is it illiteracy or hungry seniors, scared kids or unheard teens? Is it survivors of assaults or people re-entering society after imprisonment or the continual environmental crises? What's in your heart? What's your heart telling you to look out for? How is the Holy Spirit matching your unique gifts to some unique suffering in this world? Who is your neighbor? And friends, if you are the suffering person today, if you feel injured, unheard, betrayed, remember that there are two sides to this neighbor business. Sometimes we are the neighbor in need, and sometimes we are the injured person on the dangerous road, and we receive and accept help, not from those we think should help us, but from those that stop and actually do the work. The injured man must have felt so afraid and alone on the side of the road. I mean, he may not have thought much of Samaritans at that time, but he knew himself to be hurt, and he accepted the neighbor that Jesus sent to him. A few years ago, I was in a church, and I was sitting way up in a balcony because I wasn't sure I wanted to deal with passing of the peace, and I wasn't sure I wanted to sign the visitor book, and I wasn't even sure that I deserved to be there. And I definitely didn't think I deserved the love that was pouring out of that congregation. And I definitely didn't know who my neighbor was or what my gifts were, or even if I had anything valuable to give. And then the pastor said, "God loves everyone, even you." And my heart broke wide open. See, I knew God's love was for everyone, and I truly believed that everyone got it. You couldn't earn it or lose it. That it was for everyone. But I hadn't understood myself to be included in everyone for a really long time. And I didn't know that I had a neighbor. And I didn't know I was a neighbor. But I knew right then, as I know right now, that if someone who had been as steeped in church for as long and as lovingly as I had didn't get it, that God's love included me, then there was bound to be a lot of other people who also didn't know that. And so I decided to figure out a way to tell everyone that we are all included and that everyone gets God's love. And my gift is my willingness to tell my story of self-exile, and one of my neighbors is the person who needs to hear it. Who do you feel called to look out for? Friends, our neighbor is truly everyone and anyone that needs to be picked up from a dangerous road and looked after, not just for today, but maybe for a long while. Who does your heart break wide open for? Who is the neighbor you have been afraid of loving? Who have you been afraid of allowing to love you? God's love and Jesus' instructions for how to do the work of God's love are simple and complicated, and we can do that. We've got the gifts. We know where God is visible in our lives already. Maybe it's time to figure out how our great good gifts and our world's unique and precious pain come together for healing and for grace, for the love of God that is absolutely for everyone, including your neighbor, including you. Amen.
On page 105, using the words of the Apostles' Creed, we profess our faith in the Trinity. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again, he ascended into heaven, he is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
With the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Almighty and most merciful God, your bountiful goodness fills all creation. Keep us safe from all that may hurt us, that whole and well in body and spirit, we may with grateful hearts accomplish all that you would have us do through your name. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord Jesus, many of your children are hurting. We humbly pray that you would comfort and provide for those affected by Hurricane Florence and the aftermath flooding. We also pray for those impacted by widespread wildfires and the recent devastating tsunami in Indonesia and this weekend's earthquake in Haiti. Surround those with your Holy Spirit who suffer from the loss of homes, livelihoods, property, and loved ones. Stir in us a willingness to support places like the Lutheran Disaster Response and other agencies to help bring your healing and renewal to these devastated victims. Also bless the rescuers and responders with your safety, endurance, and wisdom. Lord, in your mercy. Sovereign Lord, open our hearts this day to generously give that which we are able, ever remembering that all things come of Thee. We pray that You will grant this congregation the insight to wisely use these gifts to further the mission and ministry of which You call this Emmanuel Lutheran Church to proclaim. Lord, in Your mercy. Dear Father God, bless those among us this day who are in need of healing, comfort, and peace. Please bless your servants, Rhoda, Jean, Ginger, Jamie, Max, Asa, and Clay. Surround them with your Holy Spirit each day that they may know your love and compassion. We offer a prayer of thanksgiving for the success of Jenny's recent surgery and pray for her comfort during recovery. And now we pray for those whom we name aloud or silently within our hearts. Lord, in your mercy. Finally, dear Jesus, keep us close to you in the days ahead. Keep our hearts humble with thanksgiving for all the blessings which abound around us each day. Keep our hearts hungry to have a closer walk with you in all facets of our lives. Keep our hearts eager to embrace the discipleship you have called us to be a part of by sharing our time and talents. And keep our hearts overflowing with love for you and for our fellow man. Please keep us close to you in the days ahead. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
In a moment, we will take the offering after we pass the peace. If you have brought your pledge card, just please simply put it in the offering plate with offering. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let's share that peace with one another.
Oh, I blocked it. Sorry.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, giver of all that is good and true and beautiful and life-giving, these cards, these bags of foods and buckets of cleaning supplies,